Hello and welcome to Rhymes Against Humanity with Adam Brodsky. I am, you know, that dude. I am glad to have you back. This is the first podcast we got going on of 2015. As some of you may know, 2014 can go fuck itself right in the ear. The year started with my sister dying and ended with my marriage dying. So between, and then like another six funerals in between, there were some good spots. I mean, I went to the Philadelphia Folk Fest and it was a top three fest for me, and I played some really great shows and I wrote some decent songs and I met a lot of good people on the podcast. So it wasn't a totally bad year, but the lows were pretty epically low. So I am happy to bid that year good fucking bye and move right on. I have lots of big news, big plans, and big dreams for 2015, and I hope you'll come along for the ride for some of them. First off, there are going to be some changes to the podcast that you love and know. Rhymes Against Humanity is going to go through some changes. I'm going to tease those a little bit. I'm not going to tell you exactly what I got in mind. We're still going to have our two songwriter interviews a month, but I have lots of other goodies lined up for us. One thing I can tell you right now is if you were to type into your browser, Wowzer, rhymesagainsthumanity.com, you would be taken to rhymesagainsthumanity.com. It now actually exists in the non-existent cyberspatial world, provided that the North Koreans don't think us too dangerous and go all hacky on us. So go to Rhymes Against Humanity and you can see what the new website is going to be like. And the first thing you can do when you get there is you can see this podcast that we're talking about. Maybe you were already there and now you're trapped in one of those little Mobius strip loops. But this episode here, in November, I chatted with Jess Klein and we had ourselves a nice little talk. And this is the result. The tenses. I'm too tense. Of that chat. So this is Jess Klein, the lovely, wonderful, and talented Jess Klein. It was a great pleasure sitting down and talking with her, and I hope you enjoy the talk. Anyway, that's enough of me. Let's go talk about Rhymes Against Humanity. And like I said, I've got some more changes to come that you will be let in on. But I just want to, you know, moisten you, tickle you a little bit with that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jess Klein, Rhymes Against Humanity. Against Humanity number, this is probably 025, but we're going to stop counting for a while. I am very happy to have with me a very special guest, Jess Klein, who I probably have not seen in clearly a decade, but maybe even longer than that. And she was very kind enough to come into the Permanent Records podcast studio, which also doubles as the guest bedroom and also doubles as the storage place for the extra mattress. And we have a microwave over there in case you get hungry. So she is here with me, and we're going to have a nice chat about all things Jess Klein, who is, at least for the moment, an Austinite. She is a Texan these days, and has been for a while. But we'll get into all of that afterwards. Welcome to the show, and that's about all I have to say about in terms of the intro. So, like I said, my guest is Jess Klein, and I would like to say hello. Say hello.
Hello.
There you go. So, what brings you to the Northeast?
The Prius.
You're touring in a Prius.
Yeah.
That's very nice. I myself have an Accord hybrid.
Yeah.
It's the only way to tour anymore.
Yeah. It helps a lot.
Yeah. I used to have an RV. I had a van for years, and then I had a Toyota camper, an RV.
Wow.
Which was awesome to bring your own green room with you.
Right.
But man, 12 miles a gallon.
Yeah.
Gets really old.
Yeah.
And you're still a road dog. I mean, you're still doing. As much as you can be.
I keep saying that I'm not going to go out for more than 2 weeks, and then it's like, you want to do this month-long tour? Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Do you dig it, though, when you're truly out on the road?
I do. I love performing so much.
Okay.
I get the traveling part gets, it's just tiring. Like, it's just like like the accumulation
right.
of physical fatigue is hard for me. But other than that, I love it.
Yeah. Okay. But the thing I loved and love is the game, especially, you know, when you're cruising at our level and where every dollar counts.
Yeah.
Is, look, where can I sleep for the least amount of money? Which Walmart parking lot can I crash in? And like, how can I get a good meal that's filled with, you know, relatively real food
Yeah.
for less than what I'm going to get paid tonight?
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed that part of the game. I enjoyed, and as much as I hate the homogenization of America, I kind of liked that I could pull up into a Target and sort of walk in and know exactly where to go to get the deodorant.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And that was me.
But, yeah.
So I enjoyed that part. And yeah. And do you go to roadside attractions and stuff and see all the little things, or are you over it?
I have to say, most of the time.
My dad, he can hold.
Oh, okay.
I'll talk to him later.
Most of the time, I just try and get as much sleep as possible. But I sound like a one.
It's so rock and roll.
One broken record, but you know, if it works out and I'm with someone who's up for an adventure, yeah.
Okay, but you don't. I mean, because I love all those little, you know, world's largest. I've seen both of the world's largest balls of twine. Have you seen either?
No.
You cannot call yourself a folk singer if you haven't been to Darwin, Minnesota, or Cawker City, Kansas.
Yeah, I guess not. Oh well.
Now, this is something that I don't know whether you know. I think I was at your very first gig.
Wow.
Which wasn't even really a gig. Did you take guitar lessons from Barry Peterson?
Yeah.
And he brought you out to John and Peter's. You may not have been 21 yet.
Yeah, I don't think they ever let me in there, actually.
No, I have a memory. Who knows from 25 years ago. But you were playing a nylon string guitar.
Yeah.
And there was a girl with a Jewish last name. So I was like, wait, what, huh? I was perked up for my little notebook in the back there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't know, you had like maybe four songs, and he was teaching you whatever he was teaching you. And you played one song about being woken up with kisses and a slap. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that sounds like something I would. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this girl is more than just the boring pretty girl. And that was my impression. Despite her nylon string guitar.
You were wrong. I'm just boring and pretty.
I doubt that. So how did you now, were you living at the time? This was, I would guess, 91, 92, 93.
Well, let's see. I didn't start playing guitar till 1994, so it had to be at least then.
All right, then.
But my parents were living in Lawrenceville, New Jersey.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had just, I just started playing guitar and writing songs. I was a student. I did a semester abroad in Jamaica.
Okay.
And
that must
I
have
just
sucked.
Came. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah. I'll never go back there.
So at what school?
Hamilton College.
Okay.
And then they had like this program was through this school that only did international, you know, study abroad stuff.
So what was your major?
Women's studies.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So and you graduated with a women's studies degree?
Yeah.
Cool. And then became a folk singer. That's the
right.
career path.
Qualified me for this. So.
Yeah, letters of introduction, and next thing you know, you're. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I remember that he had talked about how fresh out of the gate you were. I mean, like you were really new at this.
Yeah.
And you were surprisingly good for someone that new at it. And I thought to myself, this is a person to watch. And then we became sort of you were one of my road friends who I never saw because I would play these clubs and I would always see your poster. there were a bunch of us and I'd see the same bunch of our posters
right.
all around. And I'd be like, oh, Jess was here 2 days ago or Jess is going to be here in 2 weeks. And, right. and sort of I felt like we were friends. And this was before we the Twitters.
Yeah.
So essentially, you know, if I wanted to chat with you, I could write a note and leave it at the front desk.
Right.
But I remember sort of just keeping track of you that away.
Yeah.
So your parents were living in Lawrenceville. I thought your parents divorced when you were a kid.
Yeah, this was my mom and my stepdad were living there. My mom had a job there, and they're not there now. They're in Florida.
Of course.
All good.
Where in Florida?
New Yorkers, St. Petersburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where they go. I have a friend's parents who moved down. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're probably neighbors with the Seinfelds.
Right.
Okay, so now you've lived. So you lived in New England and you lived in New York for a while.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Austin where? 07, 08?
2008.
Eight, okay.
Yeah.
So what brought that decision on?
I was just felt really burnt out by New York City.
Okay.
And
where were you living in New York?
I was in Brooklyn, but I never knew any other songwriters in Brooklyn. It was really weird. After I left, everyone was like, oh, you must have been part of this great Americana scene in Brooklyn. I'm like, what are you talking about? because for me, it was like living in New York meant that I would go on tour and then I'd come back exhausted and have to like do temp jobs. And I just never found those people. So I was just, I needed to just be somewhere quieter and slower. And at the time, Austin was quieter and slower, although now it's gotten really big and busy. Right. But at the time, I went through their own tour, and it wasn't really like, oh, I'm going to move to Austin and be like a big star in the Austin scene. I was just like, oh, people move slowly here, and they're friendly, and it's like a community, and everyone goes to see music all the time, and, you know, this would just be like a good place to nurture my soul. And then it turned out to be really good for... It turned out that nurturing your soul is actually really good for your career. No one tells you that, but it is. So
you're supposed to kill your soul.
I know.
Stomp it down and make the bad ethical choices.
I know.
So when you were living in New York, you said you didn't hang out with songwriters?
Yeah, not really. It's kind of weird. I don't know what the deal was. I was probably two blocks away from this great, you know, scene, but I didn't... I just didn't know anyone, you know, in that world. So
now, did you play? Where did you play in New York?
It varied. Like I would, if it was like a album release, I would do Joe's Pub, and otherwise, probably the Living Room or
the old Living Room.
Yeah.
And then, do you ever play the Fort, the Sidewalk Cafe?
No.
Sixth and A.
I think I did that once, but not when I was living there. It was before I lived there.
Okay, that was my home in New York. That's where I felt, you know, that's where the anti-folk scene is, so that's where I felt most comfortable.
Right.
With Latch and everybody there. Okay, so then you decide to move to Austin in 08. Now, how many records have you made at that point, in 08 and 08?
Okay, that's some high-level math, Adam.
I should have had you open your Excel sheet.
I know. Excel. I think I had made four, so let's see. Well, it depends where you count, but like, let's say I'd made five.
Okay.
And then I've, since moving there, I guess I've made three and, well, four really. It's really hard to know what to count, you know, like if you do like a different kind of project.
There's really no right or wrong answer to this
question. Okay, good. So. I'm going to go with five and then four.
Yeah, so you're not disqualified.
Okay.
Now, so now you're obviously, you're in Austin, you're in a community of songwriters.
Mm.
Did you find yourself writing more songs when you're surrounded by songwriters?
Yeah.
Okay.
You did.
And did you find yourself writing different songs? How did your writing change when you became a Texan?
I was listening a lot to like rootsy rock and roll stuff, and I guess I always had a little of that, but I started to get really absorbed by stuff like that. And
like who? Do you have some names?
Well, there's a band there called The Resentments that they've played every Sunday for like the last 20 years, and it's basically like this all-star collection of people, and they just had like this really loose rootsy sound, and I listened to them a lot. And then Freddie Johnston was living there when I moved there, and I started listening to him a lot. And then Randy Weeks, who he wrote that song Can't Let Go that Lucinda Williams covered and had like a hit with, and I started singing with Randy, so then I knew all of his songs, and he's like out of this world, you know, songwriter. And I was, you know, it does, it like seeps in if you're surrounded by like great talent.
Yeah,
it really helped me, like, just, it helped me feel like, you know, it's cool and it's important and it matters if you, to, like, spend your time writing, you know? That's, like, a worthwhile way to be doing things.
Were you encouraged artistically as a kid by your folks?
No one discouraged me, I don't think. I think they were pretty concerned. My mom was pretty concerned when I announced that this was going to be my livelihood, quote unquote. But my mom exposed me to a lot of great art. She was really into the arts, theater and ballet, and, you know, classical music. And she had pretty good record collection. So I think, like, by osmosis, she encouraged me. I don't know that she thought it was going to end up this way. But
but she didn't actively discourage you.
Right.
Which is really almost all you can ask from parents. I mean, my dad still makes the face at me. He's like, really? Isn't it time to get a real job?
Right.
And then whenever he hears me, like, you know, taking side work or something to pay the rent, he gets this, like, attaboy finally look on his face. He's like, it's about time. Like, come on, Dad. Really?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get started on him. So, this very, very pretty Gibson that you're playing.
Yeah.
It reeks of Texas. Did you have this up north, or
I got this in New York. Well, I ordered it when I lived in New York City. It came from Montana, but...
All right. Yeah. Because it's all decked out with the pearl inlay, and you've got a custom hand-tooled strap on you there.
Yeah.
With the JK.
That's from Texas. Someone gave me that.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's good. Why don't you play us something, absolutely whatever you want.
Okay.
Jess Klein.
I had been there before. Old man worry hanging round my door. Heard his heavy silence outside, wishing I could run away and hide. Poured myself a stiff drink of gin, looked around that hole I'd been in, felt the old man's whiskers tickling my fingers as I opened the door and I pushed him aside. And it's a long way back, it's a long way down, it's a long way, won't get there today, but I won't be turning around. Held a cabin, sped up the road to my lover's abode, thinking about the good times, thinking about those sweet rhymes and all those funny dreams I hold. I swept in there ready for the kill, tried to move him by the sheer force of my will. I pulled his arms around me, said, ain't you glad you found me? And he just stood there, stone still. And it's a long way back, it's a long way down, it's a long way, won't get there today, but I won't be turning around. Watching lovers kiss in their lover's bliss while that old train rattles above. And it's a long way back, it's a long way down, it's a long way, won't get there today, but I won't be turning.
Record is that on?
It's on Learning Faith.
And that's your new one?
Yeah.
Now, I was reading about that record yesterday, and So it's fascinating to me. It's a, I guess, would you call it a concept album?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and explain the concept.
The concept is, well, I wrote a song called Learning Faith about my sort of perpetual struggle to believe in something
okay.
larger and believe that things are going to be okay. And after I wrote that song, it just seemed like, you know, I could say a lot more about this, and this just, everyone has this struggle on some level, I think, you know.
Okay.
And so I kind of set out with that framework, and then any song that I started from there on, it was like, had to pertain to that theme somehow. And there's a couple songs on there that were inspired by a series of protests that happened in Austin last summer, when Governor Perry was trying to force through this legislation to close down 65 women's clinics, and 5,000 people showed up to try and stop him.
I watched that on TV. It was,
yeah.
And you were there.
I was there. Yeah.
So that, I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was touched, like, watching it on TV. I felt, yeah. that, especially as the clock ran out and everything,
yeah.
and the chanting and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is it, 2,500 miles away?
Yeah.
I was moved and tweeting up a storm or whatever.
Yeah.
Tell me what it's like to be there. And did you go on purpose, or did you, at the last minute, everyone was going? How that? Tell me the story.
A friend of mine actually helped organize it. She was working with Senator Davis, but she kind of helped organize the protest. I don't think anyone really knew that many people were going to show up, but it was... I just put on an orange shirt, and I was like, okay, I took a bus to the Capitol, and it was incredibly moving, and it felt really galvanizing and powerful, and like, you know, people are so fed up with politics and politicians right now, and it felt like this moment where everyone was like, this is what democracy is. You show up and you speak up for what matters to you, and that's what creates, you know, momentum, and like, yeah, we still got like a shitty, you know, another governor for the next 4 years, but I think the point was that people kind of got motivated, and now there's like a real movement going on in Texas, and
right.
people are like, oh, I get it, like everyone feels this, like a lot of people are not happy about this, you know.
Do you think, because Austin is such a weird town, because it's the capital,
right,
but yet it's clearly the coolest liberalist town in the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
And I call those towns East Berlin towns,
yeah.
And I think Columbia, Missouri is another one I can think of, and usually there's a college that anchors it.
Right.
But in this sea of Jesus time zone, there's like a little pocket of cool.
Right.
And I think I've heard politicians use that, Texas politicians, sort of be able to dismiss any sort of protest by saying, oh, these are just the Austinites, these are just the freaks
right.
from Sixth Street that come down.
Right, but the reality is that if everyone in Texas registered to vote and got registered to vote, it would be blue.
Well, that's
like,
why
by a landslide.
That's why they have to suppress the vote.
I
Their
know.
Ideas aren't any good.
I know.
And I was reading about Governor Abbott now. He's the old
brother.
Attorney General. That guy's a clusterfuck, man.
Yeah.
That guy's the guy that said that if you want to know what's in the chemical storage facilities, just go around and ask. He tightened up
yeah.
the law. Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah.
So which brings us to the next point. So you are a Northeastern girl, you know, from New York, Boston. Texas is a rough move for a blue state girl.
It was shocking. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like, again, I live in Austin, so I don't deal with, what I should say is, what was actually amazing to me to realize when I first moved to Texas was that everyone in Texas, whether they're conservative or liberal, think that playing music is cool.
Okay.
They're like, that's a respectable career. And like, you know, and that was different for me. I thought only, you know, liberals thought that was like a cool, but it's like, no, that's like a cool career. You work at it. Like, we respect it as Texans. And that has been really interesting to me, because I know that I've come into contact with people through playing music in Texas that I wouldn't have if I wasn't playing music.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that's interesting because when I'm going through, I'm not living there.
Yeah.
And so I essentially am just seeing the people on the left.
Right.
And anybody that's going to come out to my show or come out to a show is generally right. of like mind to begin with.
Right.
Which can be frustrating to sing to a room full of people that already agree with you.
Yeah.
Serve a lot of. But right. But that's fascinating. That
yeah.
I remember the very first time I was at Kerrville, sort of the attitude in the Northeast. There are just so many singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
The attitude is, well, if you must play, I guess we could move that table away. But try not to be too loud.
Right, right.
But I remember walking through Kerrville and being called over to campfires. Nobody knew who I was. They just wanted to hear a song because they wanted to hear a song. It was like, that's right. crazy.
Right.
And so that you're right. That is a very good thing about Texas.
Yeah.
So are you a Texan?
I don't know, I guess I am right now.
Really?
I can't commit to something like
that. That's
like,
not the way Texans say that.
Well, I guess I'm not a Texan. No, I mean, I feel like an honorary Texan, but...
Okay.
I've lived in so many places, it's like, I don't know if I'm there for the rest of my life. All right. So...
Yeah, that's a...
But I do feel really blessed to, like, with everything that's happened to me there. I feel like there's as screwed up as sort of the government is there and everything, there are a lot of really incredible people that live there, and a lot of people, if you don't get into a political debate with them, they definitely give you the shirt off their back.
So you would find yourself trading licks with cowboys and rockabillies and think everything was cool and just find out that they're totally backwards politically?
No, I wouldn't say that. I've met a lot of musicians that are, have weird weird politics, but I've had occasionally people come up to me at shows and this guy came up to me and he was like, I've always considered myself a compassionate conservative, and I don't understand a lot of things that, people on the left say. And he had, some weird things to say about that. But then he said, I always thought Roe versus Wade was a really good thing, Like, I was 22 when that happened. And I was like, oh, good. So, I mean, it's just, it's interesting because it situations like that sort of, I just don't think that things, the reality of people's day-to-day lives really look like, what Fox News says that, people right. just aren't that, I hate you,
Okay.
It's just, I think, there are hot button issues, obviously. Obviously abortion is like the hottest one, but it's in some ways it's been more of an eye opener in terms of definitely whoa, people believe that's weird to me. But on the other hand, oh, they believe that, but, they don't think that I'm, a terrible person for having, a different set of beliefs, So.
All right, yeah, you always want to demonize your enemies and right. dehumanize them. And,
right.
Yeah. So after you were there for the Wendy Davis, what was that? It was the summer of 13?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then you wrote a song.
I wrote two songs, okay. actually, inspired by that.
So yeah. Play us one of those.
Sure.
Which one are you going to play?
I'm going to play If There's a God.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to retune first.
Sure.
I mean, I also have to say, when I put this next song on the album, I was like, oh my god, people are gonna hate me, I'm gonna have hate mail. And then I have played this in the Southeast, in Alabama, I played it in West Virginia, no, everyone I've played for has been really supportive, but maybe
I've found the same thing. I come out with my left wing nutball, and I think it's a twofold thing. One is, generally, the crowd sort of self-selects.
Right.
And the other thing is, when you're in a crowd, you want to be part of the, and so you can get people, there have been evil people throughout time that have gotten crowds to do pretty terrible things. And you and I are linking that chain.
Yes. Totally.
Right. So what's this one called?
It's called If There's a God.
If There's a God.
Right. State House. It was 5,001. The air was electric. Something real had begun. We sent our speaker in to talk about where we had been. When I got to the chamber, I could not speak. The stories told there make a strong man weak. But you threw back the blame, said our lot was God's domain. Caused a change I can't explain, like a slap across the cheek, made me believe. If there's a God, if there's a God, God is gonna rain down hell on you. I'd sleep at night knowing that was true. If there's a God, if there's a God, God is gonna rain down hell on you.
That's a nice one.
Thank you.
That's very nice. So, is there a God?
I don't know.
What if I said, I need a yes or no answer?
Yeah, I don't know.
You just wrote a whole album.
I know, but it's an album of questions, you know? I don't have the answer. I have a commitment to having faith in something, you know.
Okay.
But I don't know what. I guess it could be called a god, you know. But it feels to me more like.
Oh, that is such a mealy answer.
It's not. I mean, I'm not a person who. I'm not a black and white person.
I know. I just put you on the spot because it's fun for me. So you make a whole album full of songs about faith in and about a variety of things.
Yeah.
I like that. You had a blog post on your web on your webpage that it goes through every song and talks a little bit about what each is about.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty cool idea. I did that on one of my records rather than put lyrics down.
Yeah.
I put little stories behind the songs.
Yeah.
And so, do you think... when I travel through the South... A normal question that we'll often get asked is, you know, what church do you go to? Is a hi, how are you? I mean, and they don't mean anything offensive by it, and sometimes it can ruffle my feathers.
Right.
Do you think an album of faith? Do you think that if you were still living in the Northeast, this concept album would have would have even been born or would have evolved differently?
I don't know. It feels to me like it feels like a really personal album. I mean, that sounds so weird. That sounds like something a publicist would say. Yeah. But I guess I can't. I don't know. You know, the sort of political side of it. I mean, you know, part of what I felt like saying in that last song was like, you know, you can't tell me that there's a God and this is what God says. Like, that's not how America was built. You know, that's not how it is here, supposedly. So, I'm sure, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it would have happened the same way. It probably wouldn't have been the same album, you know?
Do you feel like sort of a 3K background noise, like a Christian presence throughout the state of Texas? I sort of always feel that in the background, but right. Maybe I'm super sensitive.
I don't know. I mean, it's so weird. It's like, you know, my friend and I are on tour right now, and we drove up through the Midwest, up through Texas and the Midwest, and then came over here, and we saw a lot of like billboards about, you know, how Obama is evil and all this crap. And, you know, it's like, I just still have yet to really meet any individual person that is really invested in that kind of thinking. It just always seems to me like it's, you know, it's coming from, like, the people who make those billboards obviously have a vested interest in, like,
right.
destroying anything, you know, remotely progressive. But it just never seems to me like that's real people speaking, you know? I mean, yeah. It is. It's there, obviously. Someone paid a lot of money, you know? And,
no, but there's a difference.
And probably also to scare people like you and me, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't... I mean, it is scary. It's terrifying, you know? I hope that that doesn't completely... I don't know how it could take...
Yeah.
God forbid. But I just don't know. I guess to sort of like circle back to your last question, it's like I kind of have faith. I have faith that, you know, other human beings will take care of me. You know, I don't have that feeling like, shit, I'm out here and people, you know, have these crazy beliefs and they're going to see me and hear what I have to say and, you know, like kill me, you know?
Interesting. Because you've had to have some gigs where you feel all alone, where nobody likes you, where the bartender and the club manager and nobody in the club likes you, and nobody in town seems to like you.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't. I don't. But it's not. That's never felt like. I haven't had that like with this album,
okay.
So I don't have the experience of being like, oh my god, they hate me because of my politics or something. I just have the experience of like. I mean, I get that more, like, in New York, like, where they're like, all right, here's your, like, shitty cut of the door, and, like, we made five times as much as you because we charged, like, a $20 drink minimum, you know? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I totally hear what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense, but I don't know. I'm also kind of, like, a you know, checked out, like, person, you know? Like,
what
I'm,
do you mean?
I'm just kind of, like, or not, I shouldn't put myself down, but I guess that I was just sort of an optimist in some way, you know. I'm just sort
that,
of like,
sometimes that's all the difference. I mean, like, I'll internalize all that crap, and then I start to question, why the fuck am I here? What the hell am I doing?
Right.
And then I start. It can, like, it used to, I've worked real hard, but it used to get toxic, and like, so then one, two, three people come, hey, I love what you're doing. What kind of idiot are you to love this?
Right.
I smile politely,
right. Yeah.
You're just, now this makes me feel worse.
You really don't get
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just me, but you're like a person that came out to see me. I have to be at this show.
Right.
So that was, I need to step back and take a break.
Well, you know what I have to say is, you know, my boyfriend is Mike June.
Yes.
And I've learned so much from him because he is, like, way out there with his... I mean, every single song he has is, like, pretty political and left and all that stuff. And, man, he just gets up every night and does it. And he has such a love of people. And he's always just like, you know what? No matter what you believe, you know... He just has like such a a genuine love of humanity that it never comes across as like, I don't think it offends anyone, you know? Even he's told me that he played in, you know, this little town in Mississippi he played in, and he was like, oh man, they're gonna hate me. And I think the worst comment he got was like, I don't think that they agreed with everything he said, but the worst comment he got was like, could you play some like more upbeat songs, you know? he wears his heart on his sleeve, and I think it doesn't, I don't know.
Well, the truth is that you know, I do enjoy trashing the southern states, but straight up, they're often a lot nicer.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of times it's the pace of life.
Right.
You can't be nice in New York City.
No.
you'll get raped.
Yeah.
And I just, one of the classic examples, and I may have told this before, is and this happened in Portland, Oregon. I was trying to find you've been to Portland, Oregon. It's one of those quadrant cities, northwest, right. Northeast. So cities like that, especially before the GPS, you could be at exactly the right address, and you still only have a 25% chance of being where you're supposed to be.
Right.
And so I'm trying to get to Reed College or wherever the hell I'm playing. And I'm looking at my map, and the light, and I look up, and the left turn signal where I'm looking to make a left is now turned. I missed the whole cycle, yellow and red, and I look back, and there's cars behind me. Nobody beeped. They right. looked at me. They said, "He's having a day. He'll get to it. We're gonna let him figure it out."
Yeah.
And that is that sort of un-Northeastern attitude.
Right.
Is really kind of nice.
Yeah.
And you know, in the South, they teaming up with Jesus and
right.
and voter suppression. But if you can separate that.
Right.
It, like, the people are genuinely kind.
Right.
And you know, kindness to me puts my hackles up. I'm like, what do you want?
Right.
Who's stealing my car while you're doing this?
Right.
And so you have to learn to, and I think I'm possibly live, you know, now you're ensconced in it. You've been there 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
So it's, maybe you learned to open up. Did you have trouble at first when you moved down, being a Northeast girl?
Yeah. Up? I mean, it was weird to me. Yeah, it was. It was like, oh no, like, what does this person want? They're just going to come talk to me. What, you know, what's.
I imagine as a touring female songwriter, you're also even more on your guard because there's creeps out there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I had to learn that the hard way. I actually had this guy stalking me, and that was, you know, that actually happened before I moved to Texas.
But, okay.
So
yeah. No,
I was kind of like,
yeah. Now I have stalkers too. I'm just not scared of them.
Yeah.
So nothing. You know, the worst thing that can happen is they put me in an uncomfortable spot, and
yeah,
and I lose like a $15 album sale.
Right.
So did you get like a restraining order, icky?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That's drama. I mean, was
yeah.
Did it didn't make you feel good at all, and loved, and
no.
No.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I imagine. I mean, like, I can't really empathize.
Yeah.
Because I come from a completely different, you know, physicality.
Right.
But I can, but I have plenty of female friends who talk about how it's not cool.
No.
It's like, but people love you so much.
Right.
Did you write a stalker song?
No.
And has that whole situation faded away?
Somebody, yeah.
Everybody grew up and went on with their
hopefully,
lives.
Hopefully, yeah. Found someone else to stalk, I guess.
Well, that would sometimes happen. People would, I would have these stalker girls who would go, you know, they would start off higher on the list with people, much more famous musicians. And those, you know, if you have enough fans, you know, Billy Joel can say, fuck off, you're banned from all my shows.
Right.
And so you go down and down and down until you'd find somebody who's like, man, I can put up with this if someone's going to pay the cover charge every time I come to town and then bring four of their friends.
Right.
That's a valuable commodity. How much creepiness can I... So it's like water seeks its own level, I suppose.
Yeah.
So you wrote a Faith record.
Yeah.
And now that came out this summer.
Yeah.
And you're touring on this record?
Yeah.
How do you write? Can you write on the road? Do you write?
Occasionally, I'll have like a little flash of inspiration or something on the road, but generally speaking, I kind of need to be in one place for many days on end to really get anywhere.
Do you schedule it? Get up and write?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you disciplined like that?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you live with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Is that... I have never lived with a musician. I've dated other musicians, but I've never lived with one, mm-hmm. especially with a songwriter. Is that good? Both of you keep each other honest, keep each other inspired, keep each other working?
I think so. I mean, yeah, I think so.
And is there jealousy on either end when careers go?
No, I mean, strikingly no. I feel, it's more like if I see him getting really motivated, I'm like, it makes me motivated, like, oh, I guess there's some part of me where it's like, I can't let him win.
Yeah, okay.
But not like, I mean, I want him to win.
No,
but it helps me, you know, get motivated.
I understand.
For sure. Yeah.
I remember learning in my 20s, learning to be happy for my friends at the same time as being jealous of them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I thought that my songs were much better than theirs. But and then that was a thing. I mean, like, I had to learn that just because... Like I had to let like more love into my heart, even though I wouldn't have phrased it that way back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let it's a big tent. Everyone should be
right.
Everybody deserves their deal.
Yeah.
But then you see people that are truly awful, and you think that person has delusional faith in themselves.
Right.
Someone should tell them, and then I think, oh my God, should someone tell me? And then it spirals. There's a lot going on.
Right.
Have you been to therapy? Have you done all that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've been doing that for 20 years.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And so you must see some concrete results?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's good to learn all that stuff, you know, that you grow. Like, I would never want to be in my 20s again. I would love to be able to stay up for 3 days straight and do all that. But when I look at... That idiot used to walk out on stage armed with that knowledge and unload that on people like it was the absolute gospel.
Totally.
So, why don't you, what else you got for us? What else you want to sing us?
oops. I think I'll play a quieter one to give my voice a break.
Yeah, you belt it out, girlfriend.
Oh, brother. I know. I just this year, like, have learned some proper vocal technique. I still feel like I'm still learning it, you know? It's helped a lot.
Okay.
It's different than it used to be. We're older than our parents were. A funny world for you and me. Seems colder than it was before, but one thing hasn't changed, and that's the feeling of loving you. So natural, so strange, so timeless and so new, with flashing lights and cluttered minds crowding us out everywhere. The little things get left behind while we run off trying not to care. But one thing makes me stay, and that's the feeling of loving you. It won't be washed away or proved to be untrue. Some things we can't explain away. Some dreams have got to see their day, come what may. Goes on and swears it's on a road to doom, and still I'm moved to sing a song and pull some kind of magic through. A hero in my way, all for the feeling state my case for all the things you do. Come to state my case for all the things you do.
Ain't that pretty? Is that called All the Things You Do?
It's called Loving You.
Loving You. That's very cool. And is that on the Faith?
Yes.
Cool. So that record, you can get that everywhere, right? iTunes and yeah. JessKline.com and CD Baby and every yeah. place, and probably even in record stores if you can find one.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Maybe in Water, in Austin, you can get it. Yeah.
There you go. So you went, 20 years ago, you were one of them there, ingenues. You were in that crowd. You were one of the voices on The Verge, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and that was, I know Aaron was in that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the other names. Was Beth Amsel one of those?
Beth Amsel and Rose Polenson.
And Rose, okay. All right, yeah. So I remember you guys were playing all around. But I obviously, you're a grown-up now. But just the
that's what they say.
The attitude, like you don't seem like a little girl anymore. You don't seem like an ingenue. You seem much more like a front woman in cowboy boots.
Yeah,
is that a conscious change or just an evolution or?
I guess I just grew up. I don't know.
Yeah, you know. Exactly.
Yeah, not really conscious. Probably more like I probably resisted it as long as I could.
Okay. Well, I mean, congratulations. I mean, some of those whiny singer-songwriter girls can be, and none of those four. Those I love all of those girls.
Yeah.
Those girls are great. But
yeah.
But it's what's in their wake. I mean, you go to any open mic these days, and you see a pretty girl with a guitar strumming, and she's like, "But I'm pretty. Everyone listens to me."
I know. I might have a really great guitar player, and he imparted this wisdom to me once, which is that people listen with their eyes.
Uh-huh.
And that sucks, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it could be worse. I mean, it'll be, yeah, so.
Thanks.
So you are living in Austin with Mike June.
Yeah.
And Mike was supposed to be here. He was going to be on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and then
yeah, I think their Philly show didn't happen. I don't know what happened. Yeah, something happened with this show.
You're familiar with this town. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
He was lucky to be here at all. So hopefully that'll get rescheduled and he'll come by.
Yeah, I hope so.
Do you know Adam and Chris Carroll?
I've met Adam. I don't think I've met Chris.
Okay, yeah. So they came on a couple of weeks ago and I just had a great time talking to them.
Yeah.
And that was great. They are true. I mean, he's a Texas sweetheart.
Oh, he's
a
great
writer. She's Canadian. And so and Canadians are the nicest people on earth, and so yeah. So between the two of them, they had such a great time. And he called me the other day. He called me just to see how I was doing, like, which is such a sweet thing, right? And I was like, damn, that's really cool. So, and of course, I'm from the Northeast, so I didn't call him back yet. So I'll get around to it. But I had a great time with them. So what do you got? This actually, this podcast is going to go up right around the end of the year, around 2015. You have anything exciting going on?
I don't know. It remains.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm going to the Folk Alliance every year. I'm like, I'm not going to that thing, and then I wind up going.
Oh yeah. I mean, I hate it when I go, and I hate it when I don't go.
You can't win.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go to that. God, I feel terrible. So I'm like, but it is what it is. Everyone
it's
complains
an industry
about
thing,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I'll be there, and then likely we'll be back in Europe in the spring. I was just there for a month in September. So.
Okay. And you you get treated well in Europe. You go all the
way.
How far east do you go?
I did a tour in Slovakia. That was amazing. Just like, it was so fun. It was this this band. They were kind of like a math rock band that was managed by this guy who had seen me once in New York, and he wanted us to like collaborate. And they just the smartest, funniest, coolest people.
Oh, nice.
You know, and it was so fun, and I really loved their music, and it was really cool.
And so you did the whole deal. You drank absinthe in Prague and all that crap.
No, I mean, we didn't go to Prague. We were only in Slovakia. So
okay.
Honestly, don't remember where we played outside of. God, everything's like just running together.
But everybody speaks English over there.
Everyone I met in Slovakia spoke English. Most of the people in Germany speak English and Denmark. Yeah.
And is there, a representation? Is there impression of the Americana scene accurate, or does it get? Do you think it gets caricaturized? If you understand the question.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of caricaturization.
Good word.
If that's a word.
It is now.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, it's weird. I think about this a lot. Like, you know, I'm sure maybe you have some of this too, but my sort of default as an artist is always to not do the thing that everyone else is doing.
Right.
And so part of me thinks, there's always part of me which is like, if I do this thing that's kind of like what other people are doing, does that make me like a sellout or something? But what if I'm really good at it? You know, like,
right.
What if I, that part of my voice that sounds like a little bit like some other people, what if it's also really good, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Okay,
like,
so.
Sideline, but.
So in Germany, who do they compare you to?
You know what's, it's always interesting to me, like, the things I get compared to. Some seem accurate, some seem like, wow, what do I have in common with that person? Like, two people in the last 2 weeks, I thought this was really cool. They said I reminded them of Sam Phillips. And then I've gotten, like, Melissa Etheridge, which I think is kind of weird, but I can see it. I mean, I can kind of see it. I liked her earlier albums.
And her plastic guitars.
Susanna Hoffs. I don't know. Whatever.
Susanna Hoffs?
Yeah.
Because you both have a big smile? Like,
I don't know. Some people think that my voice sounds,
oh,
because
it's a Jew thing. There we go. That's where that goes.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, thank you, Jess Klein, for coming into the Permanent Records podcast studio for an episode of Rhymes Against Humanity with Jess Klein. Why don't you take us out with a song?
Okay.
Play absolutely whatever you want. And she, of course, a month from when you hear this, a month ago, she played Burlap and Bean, and it was amazing. She lit her guitar on fire. It was the most amazing show, and you missed it. It was a month ago.
Is it okay to do part of a cover song?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just started learning this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
J.J. Cale song.
JJ felt the same way.
Oh, shit. I can't remember the first line. Maybe I better just do something I know for sure.
All right. Fuck JJ Cale is what Jess Klein has to say.
Is this like a whole song or just part of a song?
You can play the whole song. I mean, yeah, I'll just let it run. Yeah. Unless you just want to play part. Like.
Yeah, my voice is kind of like,
yeah,
giving me...
Yeah, so just call it off when you want to call it off, and I will fade before then.
Okay, I'm going to do an excerpt of the J.J. Cale song, which is not actually the beginning.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Magnolia, you sweet thing, you're driving me mad. Gotta get back to you, baby. You're the best I ever had. You're the best I ever had. You whisper good morning gently in my ear. I'm coming home. Soon I'll be there. Soon I'll be there. Alright, that's what I got.
That's alright. And then I'll do this part and I will put them both together. I'll fade them over.
Cool. And,
That was Rhymes Against Humanity with me, Adam Brodsky, and Jess Klein. I was so happy to have Jess come into the studio. So thank you very much, you guys, for listening. Thanks to Jess. Make sure you go out and buy her records and show up at shows. But don't show up too often. She will get a restraining order. That has been proven. So keep your distance, people. So, so anyway, it was very nice of her and her lawyers releasing the restraining order for just this one day so she could come into the studio. It was nice to have her. So don't forget to like the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and Podbean and all the other places where you like podcasts. And we will see you next time with Rhymes Against Humanity. My name is Adam Brodsky, and you are...
Jess Klein.
Ha 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 ha!
Thank you.
Thank you. And we are clear.